Sam, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
No worries, Tess. Thank you for having me.
So for those of us who don't know, I guess, a lot about what does go on under the ocean, why is mapping the ocean's floor so difficult?
I guess the reason it is really, really hard to get out there is because we basically rely on to get the really high resolution sort of images that we need to sort of see what's really going on under there. We need to go out and do this by ship. And it's basically, we call it mowing the lawn. We basically have to trawl up and down, up and down across the ocean, pinging our sonars off the bottom of the seafloor to get those high resolution images. So the ocean is large and it does take a long time. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell, why it's sort of only getting to the point where we're able to sort of see what's under there at this point.
I love the mowing the lawn metaphor. Like, I understand exactly what you mean all of a sudden.
Yep. It's literally like that. We sit there on the ship watching it go up and down, up and down, and it's just filling in the blanks as we're going. And, it's a long process, but a rewarding one in the end when you finally get that data back and see, you know, that blank sort of smooth image turn into something that is actually, like a landslide or an underwater volcano or something along those lines. It's pretty exciting at the time.
Now, that is one of the things that was absolutely baffling me. Underwater landslides. I mean, it makes so much sense now that you say, but I've literally never heard of this before. Are they super common? Should we be worried?
Yeah, I mean, you're not worried in the sense that, I mean, from our findings, we're not expecting a tsunami to sort of hit our shores tomorrow or any such thing. But they're definitely features that occur worldwide on, you know, a range of different settings, whether they're passive margins or active margins. They're usually related to things such as earthquakes are usually a big trigger of them. But, they're found everywhere. And they're just like terrestrial landslides. They operate in a similar way, but there are some significant differences. And one of the primary ones being the size. They're usually a lot more massive compared to the ones that we see on land.
Oh, great.
Yeah. That's right.
That's just what we want to hear.
Yeah, that's right. But, so it's been quite an adventure mapping. I've been involved primarily with the mapping of the east coast of Australia, and prior to this, we didn't really know a lot about it. So these new imagery that's coming in and the data that we're collecting has been sort of pretty awesome to view coming in real time and investigate what's out there. Yeah.
And so I understand that these landslides in particular can be linked to tsunamis.
They can.
Yeah. Another thing, just great, really great stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I think more than 85% of Australians live within 50K of the coast. What would happen, I guess, if a tsunami were to happen anywhere around the outside of Australia?
Look, I mean, the tsunamis that we're talking about that are triggered from underwater landslides or submarine landslides localized, so it tends to only affect specific portions of the coast that they're directly sort of offshore and related to. But in saying that, I mean, it goes from anything from you wouldn't even notice that it had occurred type level of tsunami, or you can get up to events such as the Tohoku Japanese tsunami was in part, they think, related to some underwater landslide, and the PNG 1998 tsunami was related to an underwater landslide. So there's a wide variety of consequences should it occur. The thing with the landslides off the east coast of Australia is that we're talking at very long geological time frames, and we don't expect anything to be happening without our lifetime. But it's good to know that they're out there and assess the risk and be prepared, I guess. And what we're looking at when they do happen is, just like in other areas around the world, you know, a wall of water is moving towards the coast, and depending on how big that is, you know, it's how terrible that it ends up being afterwards. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember when I was in high school and there was a whole tsunami warning near my parents' house. And anyway, yep. There's a whole thing and, you know, grandma's calling in like, do stay safe. And it turned out that it was literally just a slightly bigger wave than normal. Like, you would not have known if there hadn't been the tsunami warning.
So, for sure. Yeah. Well, that's very much the thing. But in saying that, I mean, the thing that we're investigating with this type of thing is tsunamis caused by underwater landslides, but you can get tsunamis caused by earthquakes as well, and kind of different triggering mechanism, but same sort of result on land. And the SES is doing some really great work at looking at the hazard that these things present and doing risk assessment and risk management, because the one thing I guess we want to prevent is having sort of that, you know, if it is, most of them are small, say, in Australia because of the geological setting that we live in, and we don't really take them seriously. If there was to be a big event, you know, an earthquake in New Zealand or something that, you know, and these things can disrupt ships and you know, can cause quite a bit of damage, even if they're not particularly large. We don't want to be sort of apathetic to that, and we do want to take the sort of risk of, you know, getting out of the way type behaviour and get that, you know, instilled in us, because when there was the, I can't remember which one it was, but a tsunami recently, and all of Australia's reaction was to run down to the beach and photograph the thing, which is probably not the best, the thing that you want to be doing, even if, you know, you don't think the risk is going to be there. The scientists are telling you to get out of the way for a reason. So, yeah.
That is so Australian.
It is, isn't it? It is. It's like, big wall of water potentially heading for your coastline. What am I going to do? Let's go photograph it from the beach.
Oh, so, classic.
Yeah, so we're working with the SES to sort of try and change that that culture and mentality and inform the public that while these things might not be, you know, to the scale that is being experienced around the world, we still need to take them seriously and have a disaster management plan in place so that we can respond appropriately if, you know, something like this did happen that was going to be bigger than what we thought it would be. So,
definitely agree. Well, Sam, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, no worries. Thank you for having us on.